All right, folks, we're back on Life Outside the Box, and we were just talking about gremlins, and I'm wondering, what did you put on your list of things that you can't quite do because you've got some limiting beliefs popping up? And so I'm going to ask you to hold on to that list until next week because we have a couple of exciting guests here in the studio. Bob and Paul from Lake Villa Library. Welcome.
Well, thank you. I was just thinking about gremlins and almost owned one, except I had a pacer. Probably a mistake, too.
They looked the same, didn't they?
No, very different.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, the pacer was a greenhouse on wheels.
Ah, okay. And by greenhouse on wheels?
All sorts of glass.
Ah, okay. Wow.
The gremlin was... another car just chopped off at the end. Now, you have to understand now, I come from the northern part of Lake County, so my dad worked for AMC up in Kenosha when they made cars.
Ah.
That's where they were made. So when you're talking about gremlins and all those AMC cars, you are in home territory.
There, well, you know what? I think a lot of us forget that we did have auto manufacturing so close.
Right here, right in Kenosha. Yep.
Yeah.
For a long time.
And that kind of depressed that area.
Although the engine line was there for a long time because it was purchased by Chrysler, and the engine plant was still making motors for Chrysler products for a long time. Then I think it was only 4 or 5 years when they finally shut that down.
Wow, you know, it's amazing. There's a perception out there because we've outsourced so many American manufacturing jobs that we don't make anything anymore, when the reality is we still are the largest manufacturer in the world. We just need to start pulling that back.
Well, some of that is coming back.
Yeah.
And there's some quality control issues. That's why Ford, of course, is bringing some of its stuff back from overseas. But let's face it, you're going to, the issue is working to sell product.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be you could sell it here. Well, now other nations have the money to buy things. GM is making huge money in China.
Yeah, they make more money over there than they do here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's complex.
Interesting stuff. Interesting stuff. Well, welcome. Looks like you guys have a ton to talk about that is going on at the library.
There's lots of programs are going on, and Paul's got a good handle on that. There's other things that are happening out there in the general world of books.
Yay. So well, we want to hear about all of them.
Okay. Paul? You want to talk first?
Well, okay. We weren't talking about knitting, but we should have been talking about knitting.
There you go.
Because some of your listening audience out there would be very interested in our Knitters Night Out at the library on Tuesdays, twice a month. The next one's on November 23rd. We have a casual group who meets to share knitting and crocheting ideas and a few laughs. And I have a hunch more goes on there, but I'm not at liberty to say.
Well, have you heard about the Round Lake Area Public Library crafters?
Okay.
They actually had to ask them to leave one night because they were getting too wild.
Well, we haven't had that problem.
You have to ask Elena about that one.
I have to.
Okay. But say like you're not into knitting. Say like if you're into writing. We have something in our library called the Lakes Literary League. Once a month, next session is December 2nd at 7 o'clock. We have writers, published or not, are encouraged to attend, and people give critiques of one another. It's a very nice, well-run group. And so we have that at the library, too. So it's a nice outlet for different, you know, for different hobbies. We don't say you have to be a knitter. Or you have to be a writer. You could be anything you want at the library.
You could write about knitting.
Or you could write about knitting because we have something for you. And I want to mention, I just don't want to go on and on, but I do want to mention, just because it's this coming Thursday, November 18th at 7 o'clock p.m., there's a sports writer, a legendary sports writer, he's now retired, who writes occasionally. His name is Taylor Bell. And he's written about high school football through the years, and he's written a new book, Dusty Deke and Mr. Do Right, High School Football in Illinois. He's going to talk about his book, and he's going to talk about writing, journalism. Kids who are interested in journalism might want to come. Parents who are interested in sports, I mean, it's going to be a great program that we have this Thursday night.
Yeah.
But I'm running on and on. I don't mean to just talk about programs, which I'll talk about a few later.
Well, that's a good one. You know, people forget that Illinois is where the phrase March Madness was coined.
Oh, see, I didn't even know that.
It has, yeah. And it was done by the Illinois High School Association. And they later had to, they came to some type of agreement with the NCAA that also uses it now, referring to the college game. We originally started here.
Wow, exciting stuff.
You know, we have a very distinguished guest in Bob. Bob has, he's on top of many different topics, but one of them is the changing nature of books. You go into stores now, and I know they advertise the Nook or the Kindle or whatnot.
Or the Crook.
Or the Crook.
Seems
if it's about Chicago, if the topic's about Chicago.
It makes you think of Jim Lasky in radio. That's almost too inside.
Yeah.
Things are changing enormously. And we're trying to figure this all out, because what happens is that people buy or have given to them a Kindle, something like that. Then they come to the library because they realize, oh, I still have to pay for books. This only got me halfway there. Okay. What do we have for free? Well, we don't at the moment. We've got things that people can download to listen to,
mm-hmm.
but we don't have ebooks in terms of print. And in fact, in my next newsletter, it comes out, in our next newsletter, I have a column that simply is going to ask the public, what do they think? Because here's the big issue that we all have. There are companies out there that will license things through libraries so people can download to their ebook reader. The problem is that neither the Kindle nor the iPad at the moment are compatible, which means that 80% of the machines won't work with the companies that are willing to work with libraries. Now, this may be changing. I understand that for the iPad, an app is being written so it'll work with at least one of the library vendors.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting world out there. Because another thing that's happening out there is that, and you have to go back 20 years or more in publishing to realize that once the publishers were taken over by accountants rather than book people, there was a greater and greater dependency on the bestseller,
mm-hmm.
which meant that they weren't looking at the market as a smaller book that was less attractive to them. However, the backlist is what an old-fashioned publisher, in the long run, made up most of its sales. So one of the questions that's going to be out there is, once books are all e-books, or many books are e-books, how do people get their names out there more than 3 months so they aren't forgotten?
That's a very interesting question. I mean, the other interesting question that comes to mind is, okay, so you have an e-book. How do you return an e-book?
Well,
you know, how does that work?
It just gets deleted. It's on there for 2 weeks. Or whatever the loan period is, and then it automatically disappears.
Oh, okay. So you can do that.
That's how it works, right?
Because you'd look at it and you go, no one would buy books anymore. They would just go get the.
Yeah, right. Let's say there's some other things that are out there, other surrounding issues. One, of course, is piracy.
Mm-hmm.
It is trivially easy to pirate print. And if you go out there and if you are of the nature to look into BitTorrent and look at some of the stuff that's available, you can get all the best sellers that are out there for free.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that unlike with a video file where people are concerned about movie piracy, with print piracy, the files are so small that they'll never show up if anyone's trying to see who's doing piracy. They're just too tiny.
Wow.
That's one issue. Another issue that's out there is that hardly anyone has ever purchased an e-book. You may put money out there, but actually, it's a license.
Oh, interesting. Well, okay. So, and that's interesting because if you're an author, and, you know, since 9/11, the whole landscape changed with the way, you know, if you're a published author, prior to 9/11, you had a travel schedule, et cetera, and that was all set up by the publisher.
Yeah.
After 9/11, your marketing plan became your issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm hearing in this whole is that authors should be marketing to the libraries.
Yes.
Not, well, they could still market outside of them, but the libraries are going to be the main.
That's one, and you're very right, and it's an important issue. It's one occasionally I write about when I'm online doing my whatever I'm doing. The library world needs to take on the function it once had long ago in terms of saying these are the good things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for many, many years, the libraries and the publishers worked hand in hand because the publishers would provide a review material to the libraries, and the libraries were the ones that purchased books based upon reviews. Basically from other librarians or people knew what the book was about so that they would get the good material. Nowadays, you can't really tell. And, of course, like anyone else, I've written reviews for people who are friends of mine for Amazon. I wouldn't necessarily say that my reviews on Amazon were the best reviews. They weren't necessarily critical. And that's the problem you run into when you're having a review. So the librarians are the ones who should be looking at the books that the published, that the individual authors now can help, can give to the librarians to have a review so the librarians can share it. That way people can get the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're acting on word of mouth, that's going to be active for 2 months, 3 months. And then how's the author going to get back in the public view? They won't, because a new bestseller is just going to swamp it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the reality of social networking. I don't know the answer.
Wow, very interesting challenges.
Things are changing in the publishing world. But I think the thing that doesn't change is that people still come to the library for community, for companionship. We have programs, you know, I mentioned our programs before. And it's just delightful. I mean, people see one another that they haven't seen. I mean, it really does build our community up to have this one place where non-threatening, they come in, and there's programs, our travel programs. We have travel programs done. You know, I learned something about travel programs, and it's kind of amusing. I thought I'd tell this on the air, that many people who come to our travel programs maybe have no intention of traveling to the particular country that's being told about.
Mm-hmm.
We had a travel program in India, for instance, which was a very good, and a few people had been there. Maybe a couple people want to go there, but most of the people will not be able to go there, say, like the next year or two, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Economy is not the greatest and won't be traveling. But there's such delight because you're learning not only about another country, you're learning about a culture. And we had such a nice program. We have our upcoming travel program that we're having in December. It's called Russia's Two Great Cities. It's going to be on December 8th at 11:30. And it's going to be talking about Moscow and St. Petersburg. Now, most people do not have plans to be traveling to Russia. So you're something called an armchair traveler. And I must say that whenever we have a travel program, it brings out a lot of people. There are a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. But I thought, just because we're here today, I would give breaking news that no one else has yet, that Lakeville Library is going to be doing a one-book program in December and January. It has not been announced anywhere, so I'm breaking it today. This exclusive interview, just because you pinned me to the wall with your questions.
I'm telling you. What is it?
Guess what the subject is. Fashion.
Excellent. That's going to be popular.
Yes.
Paul and I are really going to be concerned about how we're going to match our sweatshirts with jeans.
Yeah.
There you go.
Because good guys, that's about it.
Okay.
That's about right, too.
the idea was that we were going to have something called Project Library. Some people watch Project Runway on TV. We're going to be having participants compete.
That's awesome.
We'll be having things like repurposing things. We'll give them a little bag of fabric, and there's to repurpose it. Proceeds are going to be going to charity. Northern Illinois Food Bank will be one of the beneficiaries. And we have some really great programs lined up. That's just one part of it. We have Coco Chanel, as presented by Annette Baldwin, coming on December 5th, a Sunday at 2 o'clock. And that should be very good. But the program that I am most excited about, because I cannot attend it, is called, it's on January 20th, it's called Speaking of Unmentionables, The Rise and Fall of Ladies' Underwear. It's going to be an entertaining, intriguing look at underclothes. Women's fashions has shaped, literally and figuratively, by their underclothes. And this woman, through history, a woman's framing has not always been entirely her own. So this woman who works for an historical museum is going to be bringing some old school clothing. When people say old school nowadays, they mean like 5 years ago. No. We're talking about 70, 80 years ago. So it should be a very good program. But the speaker has asked us one thing. She said she liked this program to just be for ladies because they laugh more easily when there's men not around. So this is the first time we're doing a program like this.
Oh, I think that would be hysterical.
Aren't we experimental?
Yes. Yeah. Cutting. Well, you had Richard Crowe there last year. I thought that was a great.
Yes.
That
yes,
was a great program.
Yes. Yes. Scary, and, scary always works.
Well, and we were. I actually had people that came with me. We drove about an hour to get there, and it was worth every minute.
Well, people don't, you know, one of the things people sometimes don't understand about libraries is that the collection is one thing, but what we do and the people who are in the library is what creates the experience. It's like a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to a restaurant, you can go get a burger, or you can go someplace else that's going to have a variety of things that you're really going to want. And over a period of a year, that's what a library is about.
Mm-hmm.
We help provide community experiences, try to expand everyone's world. People don't have opportunities. People want to learn. Libraries are about education. The books, yes, they're there. They're huge and important. But just as importantly, it's about people, experiences, what we can do with other people in the community to help them. It's their money.
The people who came to the Richard Crowe program, for instance, they left with smiles on their faces. They had a great time. It's a great time. And that's what we want to think. A library is more than just a, you know, it's not just a static place. It's not just, people get the wrong notion that libraries are like warehouses. We're not a warehouse, okay? We have materials, but it's very, it could be a very exciting place. And that's what we try to get to people, that libraries are very exciting. I do want to say that if you haven't written down these programs I've mentioned, that's okay. You could always call us. You could call 9 in Adult Programming or Carrie in the Youth Services Department. There's people who will tell you. We have a full gamut of children's programs, too, which I haven't even gotten into. But I'm just saying that there's always something going on at the library. And so that's my commercial, I suppose.
Well, and it's always, you know, it's interesting because you have so many different mediums where people can meet other people. But where else could you really find out if someone's interested in the same things you are than finding them in the same book section that you're going to or in the same book club or, you know,
attending
seriously.
The same program.
If you're looking for a soulmate, you might find it at the library.
I think you have a potential story there. I think you have a potential story.
That's very true.
A potential novel line. A bestseller.
There you go. Tales of the Library.
There are some stories that can't be told.
Interesting. Maybe we need to reserve some more time to tell those stories.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, there are a lot of things going on at the library, and you know, the more people that get that, I mean, the museum passes, awesome!
Right.
What a great program!
Right.
You know, and that's just one of the many.
Museum passes are for primarily suburban museums, and you get for most of them it's free, and you get things like Botanic Garden and Brookfield Zoo. Brookfield Zoo is for, I think it's just for the free parking aspect of it, or one aspect of it. But there's a lot. There's a lot of things that we do have for you. And I want to emphasize one other thing. For those of you who have younger children and stuff, winter break is coming up. Okay, it's still a month away. But keep your kids reading. Keep your kids active, their mind actively engaged during that week. You know, not many of us could afford going away. Maybe we can't go to Florida this year or going away. But there's things to do around Chicago. You could come get the museum pass. You could keep the kids active. See that they read for pleasure. That reading for pleasure is very important. And we have materials there. And we have so many other things also.
they're just things to do in the children's department. There are crafts that they offer, younger kids, of course. And mm-hmm. One of the groups that we work with, and people, when they stop to think about, oh, yeah, that makes sense, are the homeschoolers, because they'll have a curriculum, but oftentimes they'll be coming to the library for extra material and to socialize. So oftentimes I'll be coming out during the school day, 10 o'clock. All the kids are in school. I go out and there's six kids here. Where'd they come from? And they're not playing hooky. They're there because the parents took them and they're being homeschooled.
Mm-hmm. And what a great place to support what they're doing, the studies.
Right. We support the public schools. We have a formal relationship where we provide books to the classrooms. And we do a great deal. We have one person whose job is simply for classroom liaison, to talk with the teachers that are in our district, to provide material, make sure that we can provide material to the schools, make sure teachers can come in and provide material they couldn't otherwise get. And that's important, of course, today with some of those school libraries hardly open.
Right, right.
But we're doing things for all the kids, for all their educations, either in school or homeschools.
Yeah.
Just so we stumble across the homeschoolers and get confused for a few seconds.
Hey, and not only that, we have almost 500 people on our Facebook.
Oh, that is great.
Yeah. Right. Or now, 492.
Who's posting on the Facebook?
Let's see. Liz mostly does.
Uh-huh.
Liz Glazer. I do occasionally. But she's got the gig, as it were, of posting things. Paul and I have columns in Trib Local. So every week.
Oh, excellent.
So some of those Liz takes, and she'll tell people that are there. And actually what we think happens is our Facebook people go to Trib Local and raise its stats.
Oh, there you go.
That's the thing.
There you go. Well,
report them.
And I think Paul's probably going to write an article about that workshop that he can't get into.
I'm still consumed by that ghost, the visit from Richard Cross.
Oh, I thought he was very yeah. He was fascinating. Mm-hmm. Very
I
fascinating.
Want Lake Villa to be one of these scary places in the future. Not scary to attend, to come to, but some place that you're going to come in for something unexpected.
Mm-hmm. Just go to the library and ask for Paul.
That's right. Very true. Very true. No argument there at all.
Well, I want to thank you for being on today. Is there anything else you guys want to share with the listeners?
Oh, no. Next time we're here, we'll bring more.
Excellent.
Yeah. Just visit us. We want you to visit us. Get to know us. You know.
You won't be sorry.
No, you won't be sorry.
Not at all.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Not at all. Well, thank you, guys, and thanks, everyone, for listening to Life Outside the Box today. We'll be back next week with more for you, and have a wonderful and fantastic week, and be thankful for everything.